Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I am your host, Andrew Rich, joined again today by a returning guest. He is one of the hosts of the Super J-Cast and a good pal as well. It's Damon McDonald. Hello again, Damon.
Hi. My stupid computer. A lot of technical issues with me today. Terrible. I feel like an old man. Awesome to be back. I was so thrilled to get your message and instantly said yes, no matter what the theme, the topic, I was all in. So thank you very much. Glad to be here. And I love the theme this time out, too.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, of course. It's been about, I think, 8 months or so since you've been on the show here. And boy, oh boy, what a whirlwind time it's been, especially in New Japan lately. The past few weeks alone have been insane. You've got Tetsuya Naito leaving the company. You've got Jeff Cobb leaving the company. Bushi out the door. It's never a dull moment, it seems, Damon.
It's unbelievable how this company on the other side of the world causes us so much grief, so much trouble, so much to talk about. Not grief, but just so much to talk about. And, you know, sometimes it's in the ring. A lot of times it's not. Look, I love it. I'll talk about it to the day I'm put in the grave. And, we thought we were done with the transitions, but I guess not. And maybe more to come, Andrew. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see.
Who knows? I mean, the Naito thing especially is so crazy because, you know, he's their biggest star and probably the biggest star in Japan right now. And he's synonymous with New Japan as well, too. And but so is Okada. You know, yeah. So was Nakamura, and look what happened there. I mean, it's not necessarily sad to me because he's done everything he can do there, and his body is shot, of course. But it is still very, very surprising. But from what I've heard, it seems to be an amicable split, and they'll likely come back, you know, sometime in the future. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, never say never. Everything you said is accurate. Everything you said is true. But it still is one of those things where it's like, man, you can't imagine the promotion or rather can't imagine him not being in the promotion, but, it is pro wrestling. And you're right. Once, you know, once the Okada thing went down, I think everything's still, you know, everything's on the table. Mm-hmm. Anything that you think could never possibly happen, well, it just might. And in this climate of promotions, wanting to make their mark, we'll call it, elsewhere, and all the moving parts that are involved in that. It's, you know, it's a volatile time, and who knows where the chips may land.
Certainly, certainly. Well, today's episode here, of course, New Japan related, and it's called the G, and IWGP stands for, which means that we are going to be playing songs by bands and artists that start with the letter G. And it's inspired, of course, by Hirooki Goto and his current IWGP World Heavyweight title reign. I figure now would be a good time to do it because, given the state of New Japan, the reign might not last much longer. Who knows? Who knows? But you know, in a time when things are, you know, pretty dour and there's a lot of not great things going on in the world right now, Goto's title reign has been, you know, a shining light, I think. You know, something that has been universally praised in how well it's going in terms of match quality, in terms of business, and really just, you know, a feel-good story when it seems like there aren't that many feel-good stories to go around nowadays. So it's nice to see a guy like him, you know, get this run and succeed like this, Damon.
Yeah, it's... Who would have thunk it, right? who would have thought that in 2025 we'd be here celebrating a guy who, let's be honest here, if he were wrestling in any other era, he would be a top guy. And not to say that he's not a top guy, but, you know, just think of all the company that he's had in the promotion during its peak and his peak. It's amazing. And the company needed a stabilizing force and a stabilizing presence in the ring, especially when it came to their main events. And he's the guy. And the proof's been in the pudding. And let's, you know, it's crazy to say, but, you know, we're talking Hirooki Goto as, you know, a candidate for Wrestler of the Year. Mm-hmm. And you know, shockingly so, but also rightfully so. So, again, all what comes around goes around, or what goes around comes around. And it's an interesting and I hate throwing around the term well-deserved run, but it's a well-deserved run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's proof that showing up is half the battle. Because, you know, would Goto, as you said, would Goto have gotten this reign if Okada was still there, if Ospreay was still there, if Kenny, Ibushi, Nakamura, AJ, all those guys were still there? Probably not. You know, Goto has been a very solid upper mid-carder for the large majority of his career and has never been able to reach that level of those guys on the card. Talent-wise, fantastic wrestler, but he's never considered, you know, the guy before. Well, now he is because all the other guys left and he's still here and he still bleeds New Japan through and through. And he's taken on the role of the stalwart veteran champion with all these young guys coming up underneath him. You know, it's weird how sudden it all seems, but also it's amazing how much it fits him after all these years, Damon.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, even during like pandemic clap crowd era New Japan, he was a guy that held the fort and stabilized and still produced and was still, I won't necessarily say thrived, but you know, you take his tag team title run and his never six man run and, you know, all these little things add up. And now this, and you know, even prior his little cup of coffee with the Intercontinental. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, it's like we talk about him in some ways as, oh, you know, wow, it's amazing that he's gotten this opportunity. And but everything he's touched has worked and worked well. He's just had this reputation of a guy that you would stick into a main event and have a great match. But, you know, not being the guy that can, you know, you would put the title on. But now that he's gotten the opportunity to do that, I think people kind of are like rewinding and looking at things and like, oh yeah, that run was pretty great. And oh yeah, that feud was really great. And oh yeah, he really kept it together during that time. And how valuable piece he's been to the promotion for, you know, quite a long time now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to the music here. We have 8 picks each and a playout song at the end. And like last time when you were here, Damon, you do not know my picks ahead of time. You love the surprises, as you told me. But I will say this, there's going to be some big names left off this episode. Damon, I know your list skews a little more towards the lesser-known bands than mine does. I wanted to have mostly bands that I've not played on the show before. even if I only know one song by them, actually, which means I left off two of my favorite bands, Genesis and Gorillaz. And those are some heavy hitters there. But Damon, as the guest, you'll go first. What's your first pick?
I'm excited. I'm so excited. Well, all right, let's start it off. You know where my musical tastes lie. And if you don't, well, gee whiz, you're going to find out soon enough. And it doesn't take much to guess. We're going to start with what we affectionately call at the McDonald House, the Canadian Duran Duran. and they're known as Glass Tiger. And they were kind of sort of had a couple hits in the 80s. And, you know, they were riding that Duran Duran crest. So, you know, labels were just trying to find, you know, their version of it, you know, their dollar store version. But even with that said, I think that album that this song comes from, A Thin Red Line, is kind of one of my favorites in the sense of I don't listen to it all the time, but it's in the mix. I will say that this is probably their biggest hit. And this is the song that they're most known for. It's called Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone. And it's Glass Tiger. If you could see what I see. Baseline, Andrew. This year I made a New Year's resolution. I was like, I'm going to learn how to play the bass. And I bought one, and this is one of the first songs I can play front to back. So, yes, just again, 80s pure, kind of somewhat new wavy, poppy goodness from Glass Tiger.
Yeah, spoiler alert, none of Damon's picks go past 1998.
Is that right? Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Oh, I'm an old man. Oh, boy.
I think I've heard the name Glass Tiger before, but never listened to them. But that's, yeah, it's a delightful 80s pop rock song. And I'm not surprised this was a big hit either, because the guy who produced the album and co-wrote the song is Jim Vallance, who is Bryan Adams' songwriting partner. And Bryan Adams is on this song at the very end. So there's a whole Canadian affair going on here, Damon.
Yeah, they were like, along with the Tragically Hip, maybe they were probably the most popular band. Oh, Rush is probably on that list too. Let's be honest, they're probably in the top five.
I'd say Rush is bigger than Glass Tiger.
Yeah. But again, when you were in that world at that time, it was like, this is somebody I can hook onto as well. And they have, and they've been around for a million years. And I don't know, it's just something about that song and that album that just brings back the memories.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my first pick is Garbage. And the name of the band is Garbage. Folks, couldn't help it. I had to do that one. But no, I like Garbage. This is from their second album, version 2.0. And this song is called Special. Spread disease about you all the time.
Around them close.
Good stuff right there. Yeah. I haven't listened to all of Garbage, but those first two albums are excellent. Mm-hmm. They hold up really well, and Special's a really good song. Very Pretenders-esque, I think, and there's always been that connection between Shirley Manson and Chrissy Hynde. Shirley is a big fan and friend of Chrissy's. They do kind of sound alike, too, and this song has a vocal interpolation of a line from the Pretenders song, Talk of the Town. And funny story here, the band's lawyers were like, take that out, you're going to get sued. And then Shirley called Chrissy about it, and Chrissy was like, oh yeah, it's totally cool, you know, don't worry about it. And she let them keep it in for free with no credits or royalties. So yeah, just two super cool ladies right there, Damon, for sure.
No doubt. She's the epitome of like a super strong front woman, you know. I met her once. I think they opened the Pumpkins, I'm going to say. And I won some like weird backstagey kind of thing. And she was awesome. Who else is in that? Is Butch Vig?
Butch Vig, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I saw them. They're, again, she's incredible as a front person, front woman, front, you know, front of stage, whatever. Yeah. You know, just has an unbelievable stage presence. And you're right, those two albums. My wife loved that first album, like, and even the second one, too. Mm-hmm. So. Oh, Andrew, good pick. Good start by you.
And they're still going, too. They have a new album coming out next month, and they're going to tour this year as well. And they're older than people might think, too. Shirley is 58. Steve Marker is 66. Butch Vig is 69. Nice. And Duke Erickson is 74. Like, these are not spring chickens at all, but they're still out there making music, and so, you know, good for them.
Yeah, and yeah, they're all there. I mean, like I said, back that 90s... you know, I guess grunge was just popping, but they kind of broke free from that, which I really liked about them. Yeah, good pick. I love it.
What's your next one there, Damon?
If we're going in order of the order that I sent you, which I believe we are, this is a band that, so I, one of my favorite bands is a band called Suede, right? And they were Britpop, but they were kind of a little different. They were a little glammy and a little Smiths and a little mix of everything. And I just was like, what am I looking at? And once again, not to say that they're a dollar store version of Suede, but, they did have that similar sound and kind of similar feel. This is a band that I couldn't find their single or their album here in the States for the longest time. And when I went to London, I got it. At the hotel I was at, I actually downloaded it from Amazon Music in the UK because I couldn't get it here. But then I wound up, it's here, it's live. It's a band called Geneva. Wow, look at that one, bringing that one out. And the name of the song is Into the Blue. You know, here's what it is, Andrew, in a nutshell. It is the juxtaposition, is that the word I'm looking for, between that like kind of almost angelic voice and the batshit crazy guitar. Like, you give me that and it's like dopamine. It's like what drugs should feel like. You know, it does something chemically, that tension that's there. I absolutely adore that song. And again, the band, the aesthetics, the whole nine yards. But just when it kicks into that chorus, I you know, I'm doing my rock slap my arm thing.
The goosebumps. <'Cause>,
yes. I got my mana. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's one of those songs that does it to me every single time.
Yeah, I had never heard of this band before, and I really liked it a lot, especially the vocals. Guy's name is Andrew Montgomery. He's the singer, and he's got a really good voice. And you're right, that pairing with that 90s alt-rock sound works really well. So yeah, a big thumbs up for me for this one.
Nice, I love it. I can't wait for your second pick. It's so exciting.
Well, it's going to be a little ways back here. Some disco soul for us all to enjoy. This is a guy named George McRae. Now, you might not know the name, but you might know the song. This is from 1974, and this song is called Rock Your Baby. Butter, what a song. What a song. I remember some years ago I was in my car listening to Sirius XM back when I still had it, and I was on, I think it was 70s on 7, and this song came on, and I never heard it before, but as soon as I got home I had to listen to it again because that chorus just melted me. And this is George McRae's only well-known song, really. It was written and produced by two of the guys from Casey and the Sunshine Band. Mm-hmm. And he just happened to be in the studio that day, and they had him sing it, and it became a number one hit. So there you go, Damon.
It's funny that you mentioned Casey and the Sunshine Band, because I'm thinking, like, that's the kind of thing I was doing. And who was it? Is it Captain Tennille who did Rock the Boat? Who did Rock the Boat? I forget. But anyway, that I was kind of getting that feeling. Also,
the Hughes Corporation.
The Hughes Corporation. Wow, God. And that's what, like, 70s and 80s, like, there's all these people love to call it one hit wonders, but it's like, legitimately that they show up, they have this unbelievable song, and then they fall off the face of the earth. like you just never hear from them again. That is an amazing song. Yes, I will definitely be adding that to a Spotify playlist for sure.
Yeah. Apparently it was an inspiration for John Lennon and his song, Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
Oh.
Because Lennon loved this song, and he said he'd give his eye teeth to have written it. And if you make John Lennon jealous of your music, that's saying something, Damon, for sure. God, so,
and that's a great song, too. Whatever Gets You Through the Night. It's one of my favorite. Yeah. Oh, great job. All right.
What love you it. Got next for your picks there, Damon?
Wow. We're going to switch gears a little bit, that's for sure. A little bit more computery-based. Industrially song. And the funny thing about this and the band, back in the day when I used to do the pro wrestling stuff, and we were on Raw, and we were backstage, we were like doing I think it was the night we did the Druid stuff. And on a lot of the New Jersey, New York, Philly independent shows from Dennis Carluzzo, Al Snow would work a lot of those or used to work. And he still, I think he still did like some spots for Dennis, and he would be on shows, and he took a liking to us for some dumb reason, and we were talking to him back at Wells Fargo Center, and the guy, you know, that he quote managed, Twiggy, had a hard case and a sticker of this band, and Al Snow goes, God lives underwater, you know, in his Al Snow voice. And we're like, yeah, it's a band. And he just looks at us with disgust and turns and walks away. So this is said band, God Lives Underwater, and the song is called Rearrange. I love songs and especially bands. And again, one of my favorite bands is a band called the Jesus and Mary Chain. And they're mostly known for the noisiness that they produce. I just like bands that incorporate maybe non-traditional sounds and noisiness and make it musical. I find that to be so comforting to me. I don't know why, but and not only did we have that moment, Andrew, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Al Snow met his wife. At the time, or I don't know, hopefully they're still married, they're together at these Dennis Carluzzo shows. Bobcat, the valet, met her there as well. So there you go, little Al Snow for you.
Well, I feel like I'm in the movie Hackers with that song. It's just, it's so 90s, and it's the kind of electronic music you don't hear at a rave, I don't think. It's not like crazy fun techno to make you dance. It's got a slower tempo and that murky industrial rock tone, and all those it's not a very bright and happy song, which, you know, again, very 90s, I think, for sure, Damon.
Yeah, I mean, them and like Stabbing Westward, and right, of course, Nine Inch Nails, and yeah, bands of that ilk. It's not let's go, you know, have a couple beers and smile. It's more like, let's mope in our room and pretend the world is terrible.
Well, oftentimes on Wikipedia, they'll have like a little table that collects the various review scores that an album gets. And I had to laugh when I saw the one for this album. All Music, 4 stars. Collector's Guide to Heavy Metal, 0 out of 10. Entertainment Weekly, B+. Pitchfork, 3.2 out of 10. So a real mixed bag there.
I know. Well, listen, the way I see it is, if Pitchfork gives it a low score, it's probably right up my alley.
For sure. Well, before I play my next song here, Damon, I have a little intro clip to play to set the scene, if you will. So let's hear this.
KFSL, Fossil 103. Classic hits from ABBA to Zeppelin, come a land.
We are winners and losers. Bad fellows.
Tell him! Mr. Simpson, sir! Can you please change the radio station?
But this is Grand Funk Railroad. You guys back there know Grand Funk, right? Nobody knows the band Grand Funk? The wild, shirtless lyrics of Mark Farner? The bong-rattling bass of Mel Shocker? The competent drum work of Don Brewer? Oh, man! For more information on Grand Funk, consult your school library.
Yes, this is Homer Simpson's favorite band, Grand Funk Railroad, off of the album We're an American Band. This song is called Walk Like a Man.
Talk like a man. Walk like a man.
wild shirtless lyrics of Mark Farner, the bong-rattling bass of Mel Shocker, the competent drum work of Don Brewer. It's all there, baby. It's all there. Yeah, that's probably my favorite Grand Funk song. I love the power and the energy behind it. And the way that Mark Farner says, strut like a cock until I'm 99, I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. And, you know, I'm not the biggest Grand Funk guy around like Homer Simpson is, but, you know, this song, Some Kind of Wonderful, We're an American Band, I'm Your Captain, The Locomotion. I appreciate the Grand Funk hits there, Damon.
Yeah, yeah. I love, like, a lot of the albums of that time where everything is front-facing. Right, it's, you said it, it's just this powerful mix and there's no subtleties. Like, it's just like, we're gonna shove this in your mouth. I love it. Yeah. I think they're most known for We're an American Band. I had a buddy who loved Grand Funk. He was older than me. They're a little bit before my time, but he was like, dude, these guys, them and like MC5 are the first punk bands, man. I'm like, all right, dude, whatever. Can we drink some more? Yeah, but yes, it's that type of like just pure, unadulterated, straight ahead rock. There's a place for that in my heart. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And they've come and gone over the years. I know Mel and Don are still in the band and Mark does his own thing, but they had their heyday for sure. They were selling out, you know, arenas everywhere for a time. And as far as The Simpsons go, I saw this interview with Mark Farner from a few years ago where he talked about how they were playing this amphitheater. And I guess they played the clip from the show on the screen or whatever, and the audience loved it. And that's how he found out that they were on the show like that. And Mark said he had admiration for that. And then he said that he doesn't watch TV. He doesn't watch any mainstream news because they were telling us to get the COVID jab. And I was like, all right, that's enough of Mark Farner. No more of that. Thank you. So, yeah, Grand Funk. I like the music. Not so much the opinions. We'll go with that, Damon.
Listen, we could go through. I have a laundry list of that where it makes it a little difficult to like the stuff. I try not to let that get in the way, but yeah, sometimes it's just like, oh, sorry, yeah. Enough's enough.
Compartmentalization is key, I think, to enjoying things for sure.
Enjoying life in a lot of cases.
Yes. No but what's your next pick there, Damon?
Alrighty then. We're going probably back to London 90s. And it's weird how this all worked out where it's like, you know, maybe not the original, but, you know, again, as we like to say around here in the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, a dollar store version. And this might be like a dollar store version of like James or the Smiths. It is a band called Gene. And Gene did this song that it starts out kind of slow and then it turns into this sing-along. It's like one of those songs that I just fell in love with at the time, and it's always been around and always played, and the album is great. And I think they're actually getting back together for a couple of reunion dates in London, I want to say. I could be wrong, but it is Gene, and the name of the song is probably their biggest hit. It is Haunted by You.
Just to avoid the times when you stood at my side, so bad.
it's good. It just always brings back so many memories, like songs do. And again, the chorus, it just turns into this just gigantic sing-along, and kind of just, and it's not that it's out of place, but I'm sure you can hear the influences, you know, your jangly guitars, your introspective and whimsical lyrics. It's all front-facing, but yeah, love that song.
Yeah, it did not take me long to listen to this and think, oh, this is the Smiths Jr. Right. Like, and I'm not even the biggest Smiths fan in the world, and I could tell pretty quickly like what their influences were, for sure. And yeah, you know, it's a perfectly fine for that style. It's not my favorite style, but, you know, it's, I enjoyed it enough there, Damon, so yeah.
All right. Now listen, they're not all going to be gems, but but... yeah, I mean, they're, like I said, they're like one of those bands that were there, and that was probably their biggest hit. And if you like, you know, that kind of Smithsy kind of jangly guitarish stuff, yeah, this will be right up your alley.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you were going to pick a band with the name Gene in it, I might have gone with Gene Loves Jezebel.
Love them. They're close.
I only know one song by them, Desire. That's a pretty good song there, Damon. You got to admit. So
yeah. Yes, I saw they're a big staple on a lot of my play. Motion of Love is my favorite Gene Loves Jezebel song. So if you want to check that out, that's the brother's name? I think I like bands with brothers, right? But like if they're brothers with the same last name, I'm probably going to love them. But yes, Gene Loves Jezebel is great.
All right. Well, my next pick here, I left off Gorillaz and Genesis, like I said, but I had to put one of my favorite G bands in here. One of my favorite bands, period, I think. They have a new album coming out literally tomorrow of this recording. Yeah. But this is from their most recent album here, Impera. This is the band Ghost, and the song is called Spillways.
You keep a casket buried deep within. You try to mask it, but fall back in sin. You wanna shake it. Stay down.
Yeah, it took a lot to not sing along to that song. Yeah, this album and this era of Ghost is them at their poppiest, as you can tell. The vocals, the harmonies, the riffs, the hooks, the keyboards, it's satanic glam metal ABBA, basically.
Thank you.
And
yes.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
And I've expressed my love for the band before on the show, and the problem with loving a band is it's really hard to pick just one song to play on the episode. I was going back and forth here, and I finally settled on Spillways, but I'd play the whole album if I could. But have you ever listened to Ghost there, Damon?
No, I haven't. And I've had more than one person say, you know, you might like these guys. And it's weird because I have to be right. Like, they're on like a list of things that I should watch or listen to or whatever. And I don't know, it's just got to be the right time for me to do it. Listening to this, I was like, oh my God, this is an 80s hair metal song, isn't it? like if you told me that was like, you know, heavy rotation, MTV, Headbangers Ball,
yep.
Yeah, I would be like, yeah, of course it is, yes. I mean, is that their vibe? Like trying like a little revival of kind of that metalish, poppiness?
Yeah, I mean, especially lately. But they've always had that ABBA influence in them. Because the main guy, Tobias, is from Sweden. So, you know, it's a given right there. But yeah, they've definitely settled into more of a pop metal sphere. But they still can shred. They can still do heavy riffs, of course, as well. So they're the best of both worlds, I suppose, there, Damon.
But a lot of those bands are. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of those bands get a bad rap in the sense that, the hairspray and eyeliner and, okay, great, and glitter. But, like, you know, seriously, if you listen to, like, Rat, right? Like, the guitar, was this Warren D. Cromarty or whatever his name is? Like, that guy is unbelievable. And there's, you know, you can go down the whole laundry list of all
those. White Lion, you know, all the bands, yeah.
Yeah, they all have that unbelievable musicianship that kind of gets clouded by Aquanet. And that's a shame because, you know, they're pop songs and they're hooky as hell, but okay, it's called a good song. You know, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called. Yeah. I'll definitely check them.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited for the new album. It's called Skeleta. And the name of the tour is the Skeletor, Hardy Har Har. And I'm going to be seeing them at the Garden, the TD Garden in July. No cell phones allowed. It's going to be one of those shows. Mm. And you have to put your phone in one of those, you know, special locked pouches or whatever, which I think will be really cool because you can just enjoy the music and not have everyone's phone in the way, too.
Oh, yes. So, yeah. Oh, my God. That's the worst. But here's the thing. Every time I complain about them, I'm happy that they do it because then I can go and watch it on YouTube, like, literally in and out. You know what
true,
I mean?
True,
like,
true. Yeah, yeah.
I do bitch and moan about it, but again, then afterward, I was like, oh, let me see if anybody's uploaded this to fucking country.
We're all hypocrites in our own way, right. For sure. Yeah, but all right. What's your next pick there, Damon?
All right. So in every relationship, Andrew, there is always the discussion that comes about of – who would I get a free pass from? Right. And you know, it's, throughout the years, there have been many conversations that has occurred, but the one constant and the one consistent person on that list for me is Belinda Carlisle. There is a subtleness and a sexiness and I don't know what it is, but she could, you know, cook eggs and I'd be like, oh, you're so great. And again, I love her in the Go-Go's. So of course we got to go Go-Go's, right? And this song is, it's my favorite Go-Go song. And I think this is when the band was at their most troubled and probably the most, they didn't get along a lot, but yet they were still able to churn out some pretty cool poppy hits. And the bass line on this, once again, is killer. So it is the Go-Go's. Again, of course, always fronted by the great Belinda Carlisle. This is Head Over Heels.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yeah.
Andrew, this is why you're a genius, because you played the best part of the song. You played that breakdown, that dun 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 dun. That is so great. There's a video of her performing the song solo at the Ritz. It's in Los Angeles. It's like 1986. It's Andy Taylor of Duran Duran on guitar. He just left Duran Duran, so he's doing just picking up gigs where he can, and he's in L.A. She's in the sundress. She's got the bob haircut. She's barefoot, sexy as all get out. I swear to God, I watched this thing. This thing probably has like 5,000 views, and I'm 4,999 views. It is so great. So if you want to check a live version of that, it is great. But yes, excellent job by you.
Yeah, it's a classic for sure. I mean, like all the other Go-Go's hits, just a fantastic, catchy pop rock new wave song that's still played everywhere today, which is crazy because they started it out as a punk band in the LA punk scene with like X and Fear and all those bands, but then they transform into this, you know, mainstream poppy band. I mean, the cover of this album, Talk Show, some of those haircuts and those outfits are like yuppie chic to the max. It's wild, Damon.
It is. It's not her best look, actually, on that particular album cover. But yeah, and it's weird because it's like, obviously they're known for Our Lips Are Sealed. That was written by Terry Hall of Fun Boy 3 and The Specials and all that, because he was dating Jane Wieldlin, the guitar player. And they both recorded the song at the same time, but different takes of it, which I always thought was very, very wild and very weird. But yes, one of my favorite bands. And I saw them live as well. And they always put on a good show. And again, Belinda Carlisle, you have my heart.
Well, look, if I'm being honest here, Damon, I've always been a Bangles guy more than a Go-Go's guy. I just like their songs more. Now, is it because Susanna Hoffs is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen, and I still have a massive crush on her? Possibly yes. But I think if the Go-Go's are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, then the Bangles should be too, Damon.
Okay. I don't have any objections to that. And yeah, Susanna Hoffs is like, to this. Have you seen her recently?
Like, oh, she holds up amazingly. Jay Roach is a lucky man, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, she's amazing. I have a buddy who drove her from the airport to the Tower Theater. He was lucky enough to do that and said she was a sweetheart and very nice. Yeah, I'm very envious of that. Damn right.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a sharp left turn here. My next pick, this is a band from Brooklyn, New York, and it's a band called Gangsta Grass. They're a bluegrass hip-hop band. And this song is from their album Lightning on the Strings, Thunder on the Mic, and it features a rapper named Tones, T-O-N-E-Z. And I'll explain why I picked it when I play it, but this song is called Long Hard Times to Come.
I'm on this lonely road, trying to make it home. Doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, flow song. I'm fighting for my soul, God, get at you, boy. You try to vote, God, fall back, I go hard. I'm on this lonely road, trying to make it home. Doing it by my lonesome, pissed off, flow song.
I see them long, hard times to come.
My life is ill, son, prepared to kill, son. A paradox of pain, baby, it's real, son. Lonely traveler, ain't trying to bout you. But if you're feeling tough, dog, I walk up all challenges. Ain't got no family, you see there's one to me. Might lose your post standing 2 feet in front of me. I'm pissed at the world, but I ain't looking for trouble. I might crack a grin, I ain't looking to hug you. Think about it, nobody wants to die. There's rule to this game, son, I'm justified. I'm ready to go, partner, hey, I'm on the run. The devil's hugging on my boots, that's why I own the gun. This journey's too long, I'm looking for some answers. So much time stressing, I forget the questions. I fear no man, you don't want no problems, B. Eyes in the back of my head, you better not follow me. On this lonely road, trying to make it home. Doing it by my lonesome, pissed off.
All right, the reason I picked that is because that was the theme song to the show Justified on FX with Timothy Oliphant and Walton Goggins, which is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. No. Now, we know that I'm not a massive hip-hop guy, or a massive bluegrass guy, so combining the two would not be my first idea, but it works for me. I think the banjo and fiddle work in the background, vocals mixed in with the rapping. It's an odd clash of styles, but it works for me, and it works for the show, too, to represent, you know, the hard edge and the criminal gangster part of the show over the background of Harlan County, Kentucky. And it says the word justified in the song, too, so that works there. So, yeah, just a great TV theme that, you know, kind of hits me there, Damon.
I mean, I'm glad to know that the Fun Loving Criminals are still around. That's what it reminds you. Do you know the band Fun Loving Criminals?
I do not. No.
All right. So when we're done, all that I ask is Fun Loving Criminals. I believe it's called. I forget. You'll know it. It's because it's. I swear to God, I was like, it's the fucking Fun Loving Criminals. Listen up, punk. It's the Fun Loving Criminals. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. You'll be like, yep, okay, that's what that is. That's exactly what I thought. I think anybody my age is like Fun Loving Criminals right there. So leave a comment if you agree. But yeah, it's good. It's a head bobby song. You know, it's like you can't help it. Like just kind of go with it, flow with it. it's impossible. It's good. I like it.
Yeah. Also, some fun names of the band members: Wrench with no W. Dolio the Sleuth, Our Son, the Voice of Reason, Danjo Whitener, and B.E. Farrell, which sound like Justified characters. So that lines up there nicely too, I guess. But
right.
Yeah.
I love the idea of finding ways to make things that shouldn't fit. And I think the song's that. You know what I mean? Like no one would expect the two musical genres to meld so nicely, but it was a smooth ride. It wasn't bumpy at all. Good job.
All right, Damon, what is next?
Oh, this is so off the fucking grid now. all right. Okay, so picture this, if you will. A young Damon who summer of 88, maybe. I had this weird thing going on in my life where I didn't want to leave the house. So that entire summer, I kid you not, I'm not making this up, I didn't leave the house the entire time. And it got so bad that I was physically, I had like asked to get out of my house because I was in the house so much. That being said, I would be up at night and sleep in the day. And one of the things that I enjoyed doing was I had this like little boomboxy radio thing that I could get college radio stations in from Philly and Drexel University. And there was this young lady who had a show, and it wasn't all the time. It was kind of random when it happened, but it was always overnight. It was always like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And she would play all the tunes that I love: Cure, Smith, Bauhaus, Love and Rockets, whatever. And she played this one song, and I would cassette record it. Some of the shows just so I had it, because these are songs that I kind of knew the bands but didn't know the songs and all that stuff. And she played the song, and you know how like they'll do a set and then they'll go over who they, you know, that was New Order with blah blah blah, and then the Smiths after that was blah blah blah, and then she kind of skipped over a couple of them, and like for a long time I had no idea who this was. I had no idea what the name of the song was. I couldn't find it. I couldn't buy it because I didn't know. And none of my dopey friends would have known any of this, right? So I'm like, I'm on an island with my poorly made cassette tape that I had for years, until finally, by the good nature of Napster, of all things, I kind of got into this rabbit hole, and somebody had a compilation, and this song was on it. And I almost went into tears because I was like, oh my God, it took me right back to my bed, the radio, my room. Everything. It was everything. It was like I just got transported in a time machine. A lot of use of a fretless bass here, being that we're on a bass kick here. And it might be not for everyone's tastes, but it's a name that you know. And you know him mostly by the song Cars. It's Gary Numan. And this is the song called We Take Mystery to Bed.
You will find more. I
So they have that bass, that Japan, the band Japan, esque new romantic-y fretless bass. And I was just like, oh my God, there's a sound that I've never heard before in my entire life. And Gary Numan was one of those guys that were just like kind of pushing the envelope back then, because, you know, you would, you know, what was in heavy rotation back then, you know, Cool and the Gang and, you know, Phil Collins and no offense to Phil Collins or Cool and the Gang. But you know what I mean? Like you just didn't hear this and you saw him and he was like a half robot. And, you know, you didn't know what you were getting as a kid. You're just like, what am I looking at? This is unbelievable. And doing songs that are cold yet melodic. And that's kind of like a theme for me. Like, I love the mechanicalness of it and yet the heartfeltness of it. And that's like if a robot had a soul, that's Gary Numan.
Well, I'm pretty sure Gary Numan saw David Bowie be this weird British man embracing funk music and was like, I can do that too. Because, yeah, it's similarly, it's a great clash between funky and weird. It's got that nice grooving bass line and the synths and the waka waka guitar. And it's also got lines like, my sister Coma, she was always too shy. And I looked at you mistaking needles for eyes. So, yes, a bit strange. But the song is a jam, Damon, for sure.
Ah, I'm glad you like it. Yeah, it's, like I said, imagine having that splinter in your head of a song that you have no idea what the name of it is. You have no idea.
I've been there.
Before Shazam. What a great tool Shazam is, by the way. It drives you nuts because nobody's going to help you and nobody's going to do it. And then, you know, thank God for the internet and thank God for like forums and thank God for Napster and thank God for Shazam and stuff like that, where it's like everything's at your fingertips. Like kids don't know the struggle, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Gary Numan, he's still going too.
Yes.
In his late 60s, a very prolific artist. Like you said, most people pretty much only know Cars, or maybe our friends Electric from the Tubeway Army years. But he's got like 20 albums up to 2021, and he's a very important figure when it comes to, you know, electronic music and new wave and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, a tip of the cap to Gary Numan there, Damon.
Awesome. Yeah, I love him. I mean, every band that is even remotely electronic has to be influenced by him. And you know, he'll make comebacks when bands reference him. Nine Inch Nails helped him tremendously, you know, and then he got a big boost. And Depeche Mode and get a big boost. So, yeah, he's one of those I feel like a true innovator and a true pioneer when it comes to electronic music. And again, your mileage may vary, but you're exactly right. He looked at David Bowie and said, I might be able to do that with a little bit more bleeps and bloops.
Well, I'm going to stay on the electronica train here. This is a lady from Vancouver, and she goes by the name of Grimes.
Nice. Now,
I can't speak for her choice of romantic partner, given that she has three kids with Elon Musk, but I do enjoy her music a lot. So this is from her most recent album, Misanthropocene. So let's hear Grimes with Violence. Grimes is a bit strange, bit of an odd duck, and her music can get a little out there, of course, but she also knows how to make some very catchy synth pop, electronica, dance poppy music too, and this is an example of that. I love the beat of it. It's the perfect strutting beat, and I do strut to this song, by the way. And her voice is quite catching as well. It can be angelic and dreamlike one moment. It can be screamy and chaotic the next, depending on the song. But yeah, I really dig a lot of her stuff. This album and the one before it, especially Art Angels, are two really good albums. So yeah, Grimes, so Damon.
Yes,
Grimes.
That was so good. And it's weird because it's like, that's one of those bands that I've, it's like on my list. And like I would dip my toes in a little bit and I would be like, oh, this is great, this is great. And it would just kind of fall off my radar maybe. I don't know, it just wasn't the right time. And I think, again, if we're talking like Nine Inch Nails was, I believe, the band that introduced me to her. So, yeah, very, like a modern take on older electronic music, if that makes any sense, right? Just the structure of the songs. And yeah, her voice is that, it kind of floats between childlike and angelic-like, and but still has a lot of sandpaper in it. Like I really dig that. That was a great pick.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since we've gotten a new album from her, I think 5 years or whatever. But I guess, look, when you're busy trying to raise three small kids and not have them turn out to be a giant douchebag like their dad, it can be hard to make music, I guess, Damon. So I'll forgive her for that. So yeah.
That's a full-time job. Yeah. Hard to do.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Grimes, my pick there. Damon, what's your second to last pick here?
Second? So sad it's ending. But I had to go with a pretty established name, but I went older because back in the day, I really loved them. And this is probably before their most popular album, and I hate to be that guy, but there is something to be said about great pop punk, just, you know, California skate, that vibe. And I love this song, and it's because it's one, basic in form, but it's hooky as hell. And I love the little line of, here we go again, infatuation catches me, and just when I thought, you know, there is something about that I really like, hits me in the gut. Love it. It's Green Day, kids, and it's, I believe it's their first EP, and it's a song called Going to Pasalacqua, California, I guess it is. It's Green Day, kids.
Here we go again, infatuation touches me, just when I thought that it would end. Oh, but then again, it seems much more than that, but I'm not sure exactly what you're thinking. Well, I thought that turned my life thinking of your ways of affection, but you find that it's not different at all.
I love it. Ah, it's just proof of concept that all you need are four chords. All you need are four chords, and you can make magic. So yeah, I love that song. Sorry, but yeah, it reminds me of, like, you know, back then, the skate days, and, you know, bands like Descendants and Operation Ivy and 7 Seconds and all of that. You know, they wear their influences on their sleeve, Green Day, that is. And yes, they've become this gigantic, massive stadium band, but they were there for the grimy, clubby, sweaty, punky shows. So I got to tip my hat.
Yeah, I have never heard anything on those first two Green Day albums. To me, the band's output starts with Dookie and goes from there. And to be honest, I had never really had an interest in, you know, 39 Smooth or Kerplunk, because I kind of assumed that they would be less pop punk and more like thrashy punk and hardcore punk, I guess. And I'm someone who unabashedly prefers the mainstream stuff. I like the hits on Dookie. I like American Idiot, all the hits on there, and Good Riddance and Know Your Enemy and all those songs. But then I listened to this, and it was still pretty accessible and had that catchy hook in there. So looks like my assumptions were, you know, wrong there, Damon.
Well, you know, I think that at the core, that's who they are. And if you go look on YouTube, if you're so inclined, they do like this little performance when they're still in high school and they're performing in like the courtyard of their school. And, you know, kids are just kind of looking at them, and, you know, some of them are just minding their own business and doing their own thing. But it's just amazing to hear that song performed by a bunch of high school kids that later turned into Green Day. Like, that's that's the dream. Like, that's every high school boy who picks up a guitar's dream, is to be there and then get in that time machine and go sell out, you know, Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they just headlined Coachella the other day, too. So, and then that first album came out in 1990. And 35 years later, they are still a massive, massive deal, which is no small feat, you know, and they got pretty great reviews too for that performance. So, yeah, they're not, you know, as old as the people in Garbage are, but, you know, they're in their early 50s, and to still be, you know, going strong after all these years is commendable. That day.
Oh my God, I'm going to shed a tear. Early 50s. what happened? Where did the time go? All right.
Well, my second to last pick here, Damon, is another George. This is George Michael.
Oh.
And I went with my favorite George Michael song. It's from his 1990 album, Listen Without Prejudice, Volume 1. And this is the big, big hit, Freedom 90. Look, maybe a hot take here. I don't know. That George Michael fella, pretty good singer. Pretty good singer. And yeah, that's my favorite song of his. I love the piano melody and the samba rhythm and the jingle jangle and the way that it builds and builds for like 2 whole minutes into this triumphant chorus. And you know me, Damon. You put a choir in there in the background, you got me. And when they're going, freedom, they got me, baby. So what a song. What a song.
Oh, one of my, I feel like such a boob because it's one of my wife's favorite recording artists. And in this house, we play a lot of George Michael. And that is her favorite song. And it is a great song. And I always thought of him, when he was at Wham, and as a threat. And I thought of him as a threat because he was a threat to Duran Duran. Right. And you had to pick sides. And but as you know, Faith, what an album. And then this was kind of at every turn. He was like, screw that last stuff. This is the shit. And then rip up the script. And now we're going to go here. And he was creative and just a voice and a talent. And you just. Like, a lot of times when you have artists like that that pass away incredibly too early, and it's like, what could have been? But then you think, like, oh, my God, could he even top what he did? Could anybody top what he did? What a run. Great pick. Great job, Andrew.
Yeah, well, you were mentioning there, you know, blowing up the script there. A pretty famous music video for this song, too, because it's directed by David Fincher. And George Michael isn't in it. The models are in it. You know, Cindy Crawford's in it. Naomi Campbell's in it. He's not. And that was a deliberate choice on his part because he had gotten even more famous from Faith than he was already in Wham. And the video was his reaction to all that. And the album was too. You know, the album was a rebelling from the Faith era into this moodier, more somber sound, which is, you know, a very bold move for a megastar to do. I'm sure most people would just do Faith Part 2 or whatever, but he was definitely, you know, his own man in that regard, Damon.
Just, again, incredible talent, not afraid to change things up when he didn't have to, really. And you just think back of, like, what he started at as, you know, he had a, you know, again, when you think of Wham, you think of, you know, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go and Careless Whisper and then the transition to Faith and then the good pick. I feel like, again, if I tell my wife that I didn't pick George Michael but yet it was still on the show, I saved the day.
You absolutely did.
All right,
last pick there, Damon. What you got?
Oh, it sucks that it's the last one, but here we go. Think back to me as a young child. And you know, you would have, like, I don't know if you did or not, but you know, if you're involved in, like, the town sports, the little league or the youth football or whatever the case may be, you would always have, like, these little socials for fundraising and stuff like that. And I just remember, like, my town was pretty notorious for being incredibly racist, Andrew. I don't know if you're familiar with Gloucester City, New Jersey. Incredibly racist. And it's funny because my first taste of this song was at one of those socials where you had your typical kind of trashy Irish-American, lower middle class gentleman who wouldn't dare be caught on a dance floor dancing to, say, Michael Jackson, or dancing to, say, I don't know, Cool in the Gang again. Sorry, Cool in the Gang. But when this song came on, all those hardened, tough guy, they were out there. And the women were out there as well. It was packed. And that was the first time I'm like, wow, this
Ebony
is
Ebony and Ivory.
Right, you know? I was like, wow. One, I've never heard anything like this. And two, I guess this gets people going. So this is your roller skating jam of the night. This is your get out your uncle and get out your aunt on the dance floor song. And I dare you not to. It is the Gap Band, and it's You Drop the Bomb on Me. Lesson there, Andrew, is this. You can be as loud as you want with your guitars, and you could be as angry and what have you. You want some ladies to react? You need a little funk. You need a little funk. And that was a wake-up call for young Damon. So, yep, that is, to me, the jam.
Yeah, if you're not shaking your rump to this song, there's something wrong with you, really, because this is an all-timer of a funk song. And it's kind of the only Gap Band song that I know, but it's a damn classic, you know? And there's a wrestling connection, too, because this was used in a music video for the Fabulous Ones, Stan Lane and Steve Kearn, back in the day, which is incredible. People should watch it on YouTube. So, yeah, the Gap Band, I believe it's a trio of brothers, the Wilson brothers, Charlie, Robert, and Ronnie. And Charlie is the only one still with us. In fact, I just saw him on John Mulaney's talk show on Netflix. He came out during a bit to sing America the Beautiful for this, you know, weird little bit that he did. But yeah, again, a classic song for sure, Damon.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I defy anyone. You could put that on now. I mean, you might have, again, every aunt and uncle that you know hit the dance floor first, but it's impossible not to. It's just one of those songs that's just like, and here's the thing too, you're sad, you're depressed, you got a lot going on in your life. Now let me suggest put that on, give that a listen, and you're going to be in a good mood. it might be temporary, you're going to be in a good mood.
Well, not to be a downer, but this song actually has a connection of sorts to two different horrific tragedies in American history.
Oh, God.
Because after 9/11, this is one of the songs that was on that famous list.
Oh, that's right.
That Clear Channel sent to radio stations to say, like, hey, maybe don't play this right now.
Right.
And it's got, like, Jump by Van Halen. It's got Highway to Hell and Knocking on Heaven's Door. And this song is on there, too, because, yeah, you dropped a bomb on me. And the other thing is, and this is a much looser connection, people thought that, apparently, they thought that this was inspired by the Tulsa Race Massacre in 1921.
They're from Tulsa, right?
They're from Tulsa, yeah. Which, for those that may not know, the Black Wall Street Massacre, people were dropping firebombs on people and businesses and homes. And yeah, the Gap Band is from Tulsa, and a few years ago, Charlie Wilson was like, there's no connection, but thank you for bringing attention to the massacre itself. So, you know, there you go. That's my research there, Damon. So
no, I didn't know that, but that's interesting. There's so many like sexual innuendos and drug innuendos in that song. It's like, all right, well, it might be a little stressed, but okay, I'll go with it. All right, wrap it up, man. You got the last say. I can't wait. Let's go.
All right. Well, I've saved my cheekiest pick for last. Because I may not have picked Genesis, but I did pick a band with a member of Genesis in it. Steve Hackett, the guitar player. There's also a member of Yes in there, Steve Howe, also the guitar player. And the name of this band has ties to Hirooki Goto, because the name of this band is GTR.
Oh!
And they only had one album called GTR, but they did have a few hits, and this is one of them. This is called When the Heart Rules the Mind. So first of all, I love the name GTR, guitar, great pun there. Second, you know, I am fully aware of how cheesy this band is, but I can't help it, man. I dig this song. you get me an anthemic rock chorus like that, where I can close my eyes and just sing along, and I'm a happy guy. And, you know, the band itself collapsed pretty quickly because of money issues and manager issues and bandmate issues and whatnot. But this was a hit. The album was a hit. So, much like Hirooki Goto, for one shining moment, it stood tall, Damon.
Is that... Because I swear to God, I've heard that song before. Or what's the time frame on that? Is that like mid-80s?
86.
There you go. I knew I heard that song before. Wow. I hadn't heard that in a million years. I'll tell you what. You're going to think I'm insane, but go and listen to Glass Tiger's A Thin Red Line, and you might hear a lot of similarities between that. And it might just be like the way it's produced or whatever, but like there, again, the title track, Thin Red Line, I heard it. So maybe there was an influence there. That's funny. That's great. I can't believe I heard that song. That's a great pick. Great job by you. Whoa.
I will say, not everyone shares my appreciation for this song, because when the album came out, this music writer named J.D. Considine wrote a review for it, and it was one word, three letters, S-H-T, which I have to give it to him. That is an incredible review and a fantastic bit of wordplay on his part. So, yeah, good for him.
Aw, they work so hard on that album, and they read that. They're just like, oh, what are we doing? Ah, well, can't wait.
Yeah, but anyway, those were our picks. That was the episode. Like I said, a lot of big names left off there. George Harrison, The Grateful Dead, Guns N' Roses, yeah. Gloria Estefan, Glen Campbell, The Goo Goo Dolls, Gladys Knight and the Pips, and many, 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 many more. But still, a super fun time as always, Damon. You brought the good times for sure, and this was just so much fun, man.
You know I don't do a lot of these. You know that I turn down more than I do. And I'm just not, I'm old. I don't have the energy. I love doing this show. And I will always do this show. Whenever you send up the Damon signal, I'm there. Because I love it. I think it's the most creative show on this podcast network. And I think you do a great job. And like I said, you ring the bell and I'll be there.
Sure thing, sure thing. Well, any plugs you want to give, go right ahead.
Well, you know, Super J-Cast, if you like the New Japan Pro Wrestling, that's us. You know, listen, I like to pat ourselves on the back every once in a while. We're the number one New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. Like, there's an award for that. So follow Joel, who he takes care of all the social media stuff. I think it's the Super J-Cast on X and Blue Sky and wherever you get your consume your media. Yeah, we do it every week, and we have a Patreon, and we get all kinds of scoops and stuff that's going on. We have a lot of people that give us lots of information. if you like the New Japan, check us out if you haven't already.
All right, of course, Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, all the great shows on there, voicesofwrestling.com for all of the previews, reviews, articles. I have a new article up actually right now about attending AEW shows, including the one in Boston from last week. So check that one out there. Blue Sky at Music of the Mat and at Just Andrew on Blue Sky there. If you want to leave a comment about this episode, share your G picks, voicesofwrestling.com/discord. That's also where I post the Spotify playlist for each episode. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple, Spotify, your player of choice, and leave a nice rating and review. All right. For the playout song, we're going to stay in your 80s wheelhouse here, Damon.
All right.
This is another short-lived band that came about after the breakup of The Beat, or The English Beat, as they were called in the U.S. Dave Wakeling and Ranking Roger, they teamed up with Mick Jones from The Clash, and Mickey Billingham and Stoker from Dexys Midnight Runners, and Horace Panter from The Specials, and they formed a band called General Public.
Yes!
Which scored a couple of hits. Including this one from their debut album, All the Rage. This is Tenderness. Thanks again, Damon.
Thank you.
Tenderness, where is it? I don't know where I am, but I know I don't lie. music of The Mad is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of The Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.